Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We did things that were happening, things that had happened, things that were going to happen.
Chicago Fire Department is going and checking all extra fire equipment that they have in firehouses or that they have. They're putting in a heightened alert around federal and government buildings.
Wally started me. Wally gave me my break. I was a beat policeman driving around in a blue and white squad car.
Chicago Fire Department is going and checking all extra fire equipment that they have in firehouses or that they have. They're making sure that they are gassed and they're equipped.
Tomorrow, it's Walk of Fame Day. And during the Walk of Fame, a whole list of legends will join Dave Enett, amongst others. Spike Odell. Spike will be on next hour with us. But it's an honor that you're enshrined as a legend of this radio station and a very important part of Chicago broadcast history. I know you were honored when you were named.
It was a tremendous honor. I'm still can't quite believe it.
Larry Schreiner was something else. Larry Schreiner, and I only knew Larry for a little bit because, you know, I didn't get here until 2000. I don't know if you know I was thrown out once. But I always enjoyed Larry, and we had a good time on the air. But there's a guy who never missed anything because he came from being a copper, as he said. And when he was a reporter, he was, honestly, who reminds me of now is Ryan Burrow. We're just talking about this off the air. Ryan Burrow's got a little bit of the Larry Schreiner thing in him, mm-hmm. right? Just a nose for news.
But yes. Ryan doesn't call me ma'am.
Wait, you want to change that up?
Always would call up, good morning, ma'am. And then he'd go on.
That's a cop polite, right?
Yeah. Put this on right away. Okay. It was hilarious.
And you worked with Larry too, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah. And I remember, Larry knew every police officer, seemed like, every fire captain. If there was a question, if I had a question about a story involving an athlete, I went to Larry and Larry would get the story.
Let's get the Larry's sons on here, Mark and Matt. Twin boys, as a matter of fact. Which one do you want first? Does it matter? You just lock it up when I get it in here? Mark, hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. Steve, no sir from you.
And we just heard Larry said, sir and ma'am.
Yep. That was in honor of my dad.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, aren't you on a radio, Mark?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, in Tampa, Florida.
What station?
A very nice national public radio station, WUSF.
All right, well, I hope that's going great. I know your dad would be very proud.
It is.
And Matt joins us as well. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, boy, the two of you.
you were trained well.
what are you doing with your life, Matt?
I am a stay-at-home father currently.
Well, that's a great job. How many kids?
Yeah, two. I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and then I'm going to be going back to work, and my wife's going to be taking the time to be with the kids starting this summer. So
that's a pretty good plan. You're a lucky guy. I hope you enjoy the time while you have it.
I have. Thank you.
All right, so Mark, tell me first. I never saw your dad set up with the scanners, but he was scanner famous. Like when you would go visit your dad, was it just beeps and buzzes going on the entire time?
You know what? When I finally moved out of the house, I had to like just turn on a radio so I would always have some natural background noise because you'd get used to the scanner. Like he told us as well when we were little, young children, we would sit on his lap and literally the lights of the scanners, the old, LEDs, would be like put us to sleep. So Matt, about 12, 16 radios in the den, and then another four or five in the car.
And then he had at least one or two in the bedroom, too.
And Matt, this is way before cell phones, so were there a number of phones in the house? Did he have a red phone for the fire department? I never knew how he handled his calls.
A bat phone.
He had two lines, I think, but he had a cell phone early on when they were like, it was mounted in the car, and it had to be hooked into the battery itself, not even in the cigarette lighter. And then he also had one of those early cell phones handheld where the battery was probably about a good 5 inches wide.
I just never, ever, Mary and Dave could speak to this better than I could. I never saw him miss a story. He was ahead on everything.
No, I'm telling you. If there was a crime story or police story involving an athlete, if I called him, he knew immediately who to call in what precinct and what district, and he would get the entire story like that.
And he never slept, and I think he was on the most with Steve and Johnny overnight.
Oh yeah,
because that's where he got all the
stories. Steve and Johnny and Ed as well, Eddie Schwartz.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And the cool news, the great news for Collins and for Wally first, but then Bob Collins and Spike, was by the time they got on, they knew if it was a big story or not because Larry had found it, reported on it, and vetted it.
Exactly.
You know, there was one time.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Mark. There was one time when we were very young. You know, Mom talked him into going on vacation, probably for the first time since he had started at WGN. And exactly. I want to say it was like, Union Station fire, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah. And we watched him sitting on the couch at this vacation home, just basically chewing his fingers off. He was so mad that he was missing this story.
We were in Michigan, and we were sitting by the lake, and I thought he was sitting on the beach watching the fire across the lake.
You know, it very well could have been, yeah.
So he couldn't relax because he felt like he was missing a story.
A big fire like that, yeah.
Well, he was great on the air because, you know, and I don't know who taught him this. Maybe it was Wally. But he knew how long to you know, the guys in TV that come from radio are the best people on TV because they could ad-lib. But if you told Larry you had 90 seconds, he'd give you 90 seconds. He would ad-lib. He'd give you a beginning, middle, and end, and it would hit right at 90 seconds. I mean, the guy was made to do it. And obviously, he didn't know it until Wally pulled him out of the police ranks and put him on the air.
And then you keep mentioning Wally, and, I mean, Matt and I can never say enough for what Wally Phillips, what Bob Collins, and what the people around WGN, when Dad first started, what they did for him and, you know, what they meant for his career. You know, I had to tell him, because I got into the radio business when he was wrapping up his career.
Yeah.
I had explained to him that radio was becoming more of a business, and you don't get in at a station and stay for 30, 35, 38 years, whatever it was.
35 minutes is a good career.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just the idea that you know, WGN took a chance on a guy who had no experience, and Wally took the chance, and it just added to Wally's show, and it just, you know, made my dad's career.
Well, he got it. He got the character of this place and how important this place was to the city, and the listeners loved him. Man, I tell you, even in the last years of his career, you'd go out somewhere, you'd meet people, and he was always on the list. Hey, you know Larry? What's Larry like?
We were very fortunate shortly before Dad passed in 2014. We got asked to come back on. Dad got asked to come back on during one of the shows, and it was a remote. And just to see the people who he hadn't had the chance to talk to in a number of years, the love that they gave him, it meant so much to him. It really did. I was fortunate to be with him that day, and it was really wonderful.
Yeah, I bet.
Don't you guys kind of get the impression that as he really became a figure who was heard so frequently on the station and a key player on like on Bob's show, that he really enjoyed it when he would go out in public and people saw him not only as this terrific reporter, but also as kind of a radio personality.
I was going through his correspondence that he had saved after he passed. He had so much stuff that he saved, all the letters he got from listeners. And I think that it really meant something to him that people, you know, responded to what he did. They appreciated what he did, and they found him to be an important part of their lives, so they were an important part of his life, too. He never had a bad word to say about anybody who came to him to say good things or, you know, even ask him questions. Or a lot of people knew he could help them with things. And they would ask him, you know, for favors. And
sure.
If he could help listeners out somehow, he would do it.
He got me out of jail. You know that, Dave. Yeah, he sprung me. Yeah. Made a couple of calls. That's all you needed with Larry. Larry, can you make a call? Larry was the ultimate I got a guy. Oh, I got a guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he always delivered. Hey, are you guys able to make it in?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm flying in tonight, so weather permitting, but I will definitely be there tomorrow morning.
All right, Mark and Matt, great catching up with you. We'll see you tomorrow for the Walk of Fame. And a highly deserved honor, the great Larry Schreiner. And everybody sounded more like Chicago than Larry Schreiner?
No.
Right?
I mean,
you knew what town you were listening to.
Quintessential Chicago.